a share of engines and a thousand different fights. I was there at the little big horn. I heard many men lying, I saw many more dying, but I ain't marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall. Now look at all we won with a saber and a gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? For I stole California from the...
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Joe Hill Centennial Tribute Concert Thursday, November 19th, 7 p.m. at the Alberta Rose Theater in Portland. Joe Hill was a member of the Industrial Workers of the World and wrote the classic labor songs There Is Power in a Union, The Rebel Girl, and many more. Joe Hill was executed by the state of Utah 100 years ago and will be remembered with a concert featuring Anne Finney, Citizen Band, and General Strike. Again, that's the Joe Hill Centennial Tribute Thursday, November 19th at the Alberta Rose Theater, 3000 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 10 a.m. coming up. Chris Andre with Air Cascadia, followed at 10:15 with Flashpoint Investigative News Radio with host Dennis Bernstein. That's from our Siblings in Struggle in Berkeley, California, from the Pacifica Radio Network, and we're very glad to have them with us. At 11, we hear Radio EcoShock on Facing the Harsh Realities of Now with David Wasdell from the Apollo Gaia Project. And thanks for listening to KBOO, and thanks members of the KBOO Foundation for your generous support. For those of you not a current member, now is a great time to remedy that oversight, because we just have a matching grant for new and increasing membership. Just go to kboo.fm/give to find out more. Keep it locked right here.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, November 20th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest today is Amanda Hitt with the Food Integrity Program at the Government Accountability Project. Amanda is the campaign director, and she'll be joining us in just a moment. We've got a couple of headlines that I know you're going to want to hear about before we speak with her. So, on November 17th, the Senate passed joint resolutions by an identical vote, 52 to 46, if anybody's counting. The resolutions block the Environmental Protection Agency rules designed to address climate change. The Resolution 23 strikes an EPA rule on greenhouse gas emissions, while Resolution 24 strikes an EPA rule on carbon pollution emission guidelines. The votes come ahead of the, of course, International Climate Change Summit that poor old beleaguered President Obama is yet another 11th hour CYA effort to make the U.S. look good to a world that has long since abandoned that illusion. So these two pretty egregious. It's just hard to even think about it at the point we find ourselves in our history and the history of the death of the late great planet Earth. So that said, moving right along, in an effort to strengthen crude, the crude oil well, rail safety transport measures. This has been underway for a while and not going very far, which I wish we could say for the trains. They're moving right along. The state's Department of Ecology, this is Washington State, announced on Wednesday that they're going to make what they consider to be a decent effort to strengthen the safety, but knowing full well and good that there's not much that you can really do. In recent years, Washington has seen a dramatic spike in oil by rail. 0 gallons in 2011, just 2011, to more than 700 million gallons in 2013. The most recent legislative session, lawmakers passed a measure to increase the number of the state's rail inspectors and require railroads' hauling crew to demonstrate an ability to pay for a cleanup and to ensure that oil refineries share information. Well, when you say pay, you have resources to pay for a cleanup. That's money that no state could afford to spend, and there's also no way of knowing exactly what they're going to be faced with as far as that cleanup is concerned. So, moving right along now, elders and climate activists are celebrating today as the Bureau of Land Management made a last-minute decision to halt an oil and gas lease sale owing to a high level of public interest concern over safety. Dozens of citizens were planning to protest the action on Tuesday. This is in Utah. Dozens were planning to protest this auction in Salt Lake City. Instead, now they're celebrating the Bureau's decision to postpone the auction of 73,000 acres of publicly owned oil and gas in Utah. The amount that they expect is down there, 1.6 to 6.6 million tons of potential greenhouse gas pollution. That must stay in the ground. It must. We don't have a lot of options. Time is running out fast, and we can't afford to do any more of this kind of thing. And in upstate New York, Spectra Energy's Algonquin Incremental Market Project. It would involve building a high-pressure, get this, 42-inch diameter pipeline. 42 inches! Picture that! Within 100 feet of critical structures of Indian Point, it would expose local communities to toxic emissions from compressor stations right smack bang along the pipeline path. And the pipeline is being built against the wishes of everybody in the vicinity and a great many people far beyond those outlines. Jonathan Pollard was released from prison in the U.S. after 30 years, and of course he's being warmly embraced by Benjamin Netanyahu, probably at this very minute. So money from the coal mining industry, Senate passed... We'll take that one up because it parallels the rest of the headlines that we've been speaking about. But right now we have Amanda Hitt online with food. She is the Food Integrity Campaign Director at the Government Accountability Project. And we are very, very glad to have her joining us today. Good morning, Amanda. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is great. This is the week that we hear about genetically modified salmon. This was something of a sneaker wave while everyone's attention is focused on Paris and then Mali, the attacks in Mali. All of this you know, violence and explosions, and we picture police sirens wailing, has drowned out the fact that we are poisoning ourselves and we're poisoning the environment. We are, in fact, part of the environment. This is some of the worst news to come down the pike in quite a while. The Government Accountability Project's food safety project, though, was launched before we got this bad news. So let's begin by talking a little bit about the program.
At the Food Integrity Campaign.
Tell us more about the steps that you're taking to ensure safety.
Well, our number one goal is to facilitate truth-telling in the industry and in the agencies that regulate the food industry. And we do that through litigating on behalf of whistleblowers. So that's our main goal, is to get these whistleblowers to come forward, speak to us, tell us what's happening before situations like the approval of salmon happen. Obviously, there was somebody in that agency that knew that this was going on, and this, certainly people in the industry knew what was happening. But the public, by and large, was left in the dark, and that's what we hope to combat is that lack of transparency. And we hope to get people talking about these issues and get a better understanding of what's happening in the food supply.
So, why do you figure that someone close to the approval process regarding salmon didn't step forward, because it is pretty alarming what's happened and the bad science or complete lack of science that went into the decision making process in this case. And also relying on whistleblowers, how does that actually work? Because the average, that's why we're in this bad situation right now, as far as our food is concerned. There's all kinds of industrial contaminants which the average consumer is unaware of and continues to gobble up as fast as he or she can without even wanting to know what's in it. Would this be chemists, scientists, people somewhere in the food chain and who would be privy to this information that you would need?
Well, we like to think that whistleblowers are the first and best defense against food contamination, or even things that are less dangerous and deadly, but certainly of concern, like labeling. So, for instance, with this new FDA approval, you don't even know if the salmon you're going to eat is a GMO salmon. So you don't even have the right to know. We'd like to give those people in those industries a voice and let them know that they can come forward and they can speak, and they can do so many times through the use of whistleblower laws. In other cases, you know, that may not be available. But you know, in the end, when it comes right down to it, the agencies themselves are sort of players for the industry. They're meant to be our watchdogs, but they're just not barking. And the FDA really let the American public down, and we see that in the USDA as well. We have a new campaign that we've launched called WTF Hormel that looks into a controversial new pilot program that the USDA has allowed and Hormel uses that speeds up line speeds for hogs by 20%. And there's all kinds of problems that come from that, everything from animal welfare to worker rights issues and into ultimately food safety problems. And the public is just not aware. So we try to do our best to get that information out, and we hope that consumers will join us in our efforts to ask what WTF Hormel, what are you doing? What are you know with this pilot program?
There are a lot of the industry has, and many different industries involved with food supply, have scrambled and amassed armies of lobbyists to pressure the government into making laws that would prevent potential whistleblowers from photographing in the conditions in factory farms and the ways antibiotics and so forth are administered to animals. Have you been able to glean from whistleblowers on that end of things, given that there are laws now against filming or reporting from such facilities?
There are laws. They're called ag gag laws that basically criminalize reporting crimes, which is as absurd as you think it is. I mean, how can it be a crime to report a crime? But there you have it. The video recording of these atrocities at these factory farms are considered criminal. So we fight those. We're a part of court cases that are ongoing that seek to overturn those bad laws. And just to give you an example of how important these videos are, they're again, it's not against the law in every state at this point, but I think there's at this point 23 states have introduced these ag gag laws. But in Minnesota, there was recently an undercover video done by an organization called Compassion Over Killing, which we partner with, they discovered all kinds of atrocities associated with Hormel and their high line speeds. So thank goodness for those, because videos in our mind are vindication for our whistleblowers' words. So they speak, nobody listens, the video comes up, and suddenly the world is on alert. And we recognize the importance of these undercover videos, and we think that's a necessary part of whistleblowing is the ability to obtain evidence of your truth.
So, in the last few minutes that we have remaining, say one suspects that there may be some form of contamination in a particular product, and just as an average citizen, if you send that for analysis to a lab and you get back the results confirming your suspicions, can you then go to, for example, the Government Accountability Project and say, I found evidence? If you're like a second party to the whole process.
Well, not to sound too much like a lawyer, but every case is different, and I am an attorney. So every case is different, and the collection of evidence in the situations around that would differ. And there may be there may be issues surrounding the how that evidence is obtained. But in theory, yes, if you have information that suggests waste, fraud, abuse of power, threat to public health and safety, then you can come to the Government Accountability Project, and we can help you. And if you're not a whistleblower but you care about what whistleblowers have to say, you can also get involved at specifically for food at foodwhistleblower.com, and learn more about ways you can be a part of what we're doing. And if you're mad about these line speeds at Hormel, you can check us out at wtfhormel.com, and there are ways for you to get involved.
And there's